It's the lithium.
I like it. He was framed, man.
Definitely one of 2019, if not one of the best movies in the last 10 fucking years.
Word.
Joker.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Joker.
What's up, everybody? What's up, creatures of the night? Happy 2020 to everybody. What's up, my man?
I'm G.
I'm Joe.
And we are talking about 2019 masterpiece, The Joker, written by Todd Phillips.
I don't think it's The Joker.
It's just Joker.
Joker, my bad. Written by none other than Todd Phillips himself, co-written by Scott Silver, directed by Mr. Phillips. Holy shit.
Let's just not be...
Holy shit is right.
Fucking brilliant.
I was reading all these rants, good stuff, ravings and stuff like that about Joker, and oh my God, this is going to be the next most quoted movie. Oh my God, Joaquin Phoenix is amazing. This movie deserves every Oscar. I watched it and I believed everything I read.
Yeah. I it's probably not a movie that you could quite quote, but the quotes in it.
No, I love it.
Well,
I'm not saying like you can't, like they're not like quick.
Oh, not things. Like one-liners. They're deep thoughts.
They're
for sure.
Deep thoughts, but the deep thoughts, well, are fucking brilliant.
Yeah. Well, the one I think that everybody's centered around is, I hope my death makes more sense than my life.
C-E-N-T-S.
And it's sense spelled C-E-N-T-S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that was the one that a lot of people were, oh, and my life is not a... It's not a tragedy, it's a comedy.
Yeah. I have a different favorite one. But go ahead. No, keep...
Wait, no.
I'm saying I think those were the ones that people were focusing on, you know?
Your favorite, because I think it's mine.
It is yours. Well. It's the one he writes down when he's in the club, and it says, the worst part about having a mental illness is people expecting you to behave like you don't.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
That...
Oh,
yeah.
Loved it.
That to me was... That was my favorite line in that film.
I think that sums up the whole. It sums up the whole thing, or his. It sums him up, I think.
Honestly, it's some. All right, if I could speak from somebody who suffers from mental illness, that line speaks for all of us.
Joe, sorry, dude. I know you love them. I fucking hate comic book movies. With the exception of, you know, like Tim Burton's Batman films and like the Christopher Nolan, I hate comic book films. I think they're just fucking stupid and they're fucking super expensive and they're a cop out and they're just not fucking entertaining. But DC,
with the exception of Deadpool.
Deadpool was great. I should.
With the exception of Deadpool.
Deadpool's a good film. But you could put that to any character and it's good. It's not just because Deadpool's just a cool character.
I tend not to like DC's movies because they try to get... most of their movies, they try to get too, like, dark. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're definitely darker than the Marvel movies, even though the Marvel movies... are violent as well. They're darker. This was different, and I can't even lump this into a comic series film. Like in my mind, I just can't lump it into a comic book series at all. It was told with such reality.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It didn't, like, you know, when you watch when you hear the other origin stories of the Joker and stuff like that. It's also comic bookish.
Yeah, that's one of the things I loved about this too, that we talked about right after we watched it. Like, it's not that it's impossible, obviously, but it is hard, especially when you have Marvel movies coming out like every fucking month. You know what I'm saying? And like all these, all this noise essentially in the movie world, and especially comic book movies and characters that we already know. But this, you can't lump in any way with, like, anything you've seen of the Joker or Batman or of Gotham City before. And that's, like, impressive.
Well, yeah, that is impressive. Absolutely.
I think it goes back to what Joe says. You're building a universe from parts of King of Comedy. you know, from Taxi Driver.
Right, but the end result is still so unique.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, it's not how your typical comic book character is built.
I did get onto DC's, DC Universe, the channel, and I watched the first season, which supposedly might be the only season of Swamp Thing. And it's dark, man. It's really dark. It's deep. It's vicious.
You know, is it the OG, or is there a new thing?
A new TV series.
Isn't Swamp Thing a thing from, like,
DC Comics?
He's a DC character.
But watching Swamp. Was it a movie or a show back
then? Yeah. Oh, Swamp Thing was a movie from the early 80s.
That's what I remember.
Wes Craven directed it.
I loved it. Those are great films. Yeah.
Yeah. First time I saw Swamp Thing, that freaked me out when that guy turned into the pig.
Yeah, yeah.
That bugged me the fuck out.
And they stuck with the TV series. They stuck with that darkness that the original film had.
That's fantastic. You know, that almost looked like, you know, like how they edited some of it. It kind of reminded me of the Evil Dead remake, you know, in style.
Oh,
you know.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. See, that's what I like. Okay, like me speaking as a comic book movie fan, but also as a movie fan in general. I'm not just most of these people out there that they worship these comic book films. You know, I'm like you guys. I love movies.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, Descent into Madness and horror and stuff like that.
Hell's
and that's what. If they continue making movies like Joker, movies like Logan, you know, if Marvel continues making movies like that, because that's the only one so far like that, the new Doctor Strange that's coming out is supposed to be 100% rated R horror movie. It's called The Multiverse of Madness. It's supposed to be a rated R horror movie, Marvel's first horror movie.
That's interesting.
And it's a Doctor Strange film.
Like, my initial reaction is like, stay in your fucking lane. But I don't know. Maybe it'll be cool.
No, yeah. We'll see. With that character, though, I don't know if you guys have seen Doctor Strange.
We did. We liked it.
That's one that I truly loved. Like, that one I loved. Yeah. I enjoy all of them. That one I loved. And I could see that character going that direction, just as Logan's character went a darker direction, just as the Joker went in a really dark direction. The way Todd Phillips pushed it, it was brilliant. And when I saw Hangover 2, that Todd Phillips can pull off something dark yet still humorous. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the essence of the character, really, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, and I saw it from him back then, and I pieced it together while I was watching Joker for the first time.
And that may just be like his wheelhouse, where like
that's his style.
It's always about like outcasts doing fucked up shit.
It is, and it's like funny. It's funny because a lot of people were afraid for this Joker movie because of Todd Phillips being the director. Because I mean, look at his lineup of films. I mean, it's like so outrageous. You're thinking like this is going to be a serious mental illness movie. Well, you know, coming from this director.
A lot of people thought that it would maybe have a backlash where like it drew sympathy to the incel community or whatever. I didn't.
You know what? It only would because people are putting it out there and saying shit like that.
Right. Yeah, I guess they're the same character, but this guy, I don't think, gave a shit about getting laid. He was just born unhappy to his fucking core and lived in one of the toughest places.
Yeah.
You possibly if that's what you suffer from. You know?
You see that, and what brings me to this point, something I found very amusing was the fact that his mother, Penny, called him, his name was, she called him Happy.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he says it at one point in the film that he hasn't been happy one single day in his life. Right. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, where'd she get this from,
you know? She said you were always like a happy little boy, right? Like she said something.
Yeah.
like that.
Yes.
So again, like going back to like an injury or abuse or something that turned him around.
Well, that I feel came from her mental illness.
Oh, for sure.
Right.
You know what I mean? She feels like he was such a happy boy, but he was never happy.
Right.
She's also a tragic figure, right? It's pretty obvious that she did have this affair with Thomas Wayne.
Spoiler alert.
Right. Yeah, well, fuck it. It's clear she had the affair, right? It's he basically kills her. He kills his mom for, I guess, lying to him for so long about who Thomas Wayne was, right? That he killed her, or if it was a combination of that
And the fact that spoiler alert, that he was adopted.
And that he was adopted, but the fact that I wanted to make was, this kind of speaks truth to power, right? Where if you're Thomas Wayne, like this fucking, you know, Thomas Wayne is always, he's always glorified, he's always deified in the Batman universe, right?
Yeah.
At least from what I can remember. This time he's not. This time it's about if you're wealthy enough, if you're powerful enough, you can make shitty misdeeds go away.
Right.
Right.
If you have the money to spend.
Yeah. What I liked about that whole story is, honestly, every time like a new reveal came along with that storyline, I believed it, whatever was happening. Like, I went through the back and forth like with him almost. I was
right.
I was like, oh shit, you know, when you first find out, and then they're like, oh shit, that was a lie.
Right.
Oh shit, that was a lie shit. Again.
Like, oh my goodness, man.
Oh my goodness. I felt that, like, oh shit, like what's real and what's true and what's not.
Well,
you're watching this movie and you're like, whirlwind.
You know what I love too? I think it should be for fat guys like us. What do you think if like Joaquin Phoenix came out with like Joker bod exercise videos?
Oh my god! Right.
No,
I want to know his. I want to know his exercise and diet regimen. I'm going on it now.
Me too.
Because
he's in the small t-shirt right now, and that's
he's in like Baby Gap clothes.
All I gotta say is oh shit. You know what? I was just gonna. All right, let me add to what you were gonna say first. All I gotta say is, last night I rewatched. You were never really here.
Oh, another brilliant film.
And look at how fat he was in that movie. He was fat.
Yeah.
I mean, he put on like a ton of weight for that role. And like when he did that when he was, you know, when he did that whole thing where he was weird and had the big hair and beard and shit.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Because that was all building up for a role for a film. He didn't really get weird like Jim Carrey weird on everybody.
Right.
That was a character that he was building up.
Oh,
that movie's called I'm Still Here, by the way.
Oh, there you go.
It's called I'm Still Here. And that's several years ago when he was on Letterman and he was all fat and with the beard and long hair and
shit. It was called You Were Never Really There.
No, You Were Never, that's the new one. No, his original, the movie that he was doing that.
Oh, my bad, dude, my bad.
It was called I'm Still Here.
Oh, okay.
That's when he was talking about being a rapper and all that kind of shit. It was for that character.
I'm sorry, dude. Yes. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, You Were Never Really Here. That one's last year, I believe. That's from 2018, late 2017. It's even got elements from that, like from Phoenix's performance. I was reading about him preparing for Joker. He didn't know method acting.
Really?
Yeah, the only thing he really did was he took off all the weight. He wanted the character to be like this emaciated guy, you know, like just a weak, you know, like nothing of a man.
Yeah.
But like I said before, when he was doing that movie, you know, that he was preparing for the role and everybody thought Joaquin Phoenix lost his mind.
Yeah.
And it was all for a movie. That was method acting.
True.
But he didn't do that for Joker. Like, he just stepped in. He walked in. Became Joker, or became Arthur Fleck, I should say.
Yeah.
And then when they yelled cut, he was right back to Joaquin Phoenix again. he didn't do like that Jared Leto shit that he mailed a dead rat to one of his fellow actors and mailed a used condom to another one.
Nice.
Come on, you know.
Dude, he needs to fuck off. Talented guy would cut that shit out.
Yeah. But it's what amazed me is that they stuck him in there, who you would think after watching Joker that he was probably in character like the whole damn time. You would think that. It's amazing that they would stick him in the movie with Robert De Niro, who is one of the greatest character actors ever.
Right.
You know, a lot of people might disagree with me, but I feel Robert De Niro is one of the best character actors that ever lived.
Oh, dude. Hell yeah. And you know, it just dawned on me that like De Niro was the show host. You know, he was Taxi Driver.
And he was
the comedian in King of Comedy.
Yeah, I feel like it's almost like a passing of the torch. I feel like Joaquin Phoenix is that type of character.
Yeah.
You know, like he's that type of character.
He totally is. And it's so funny when I guess I've been on a Joaquin Phoenix kick. Uh-huh. Last night I watched 8mm.
We saw it up on your Vudu. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
I mean, that was from 1999, dude. Look how fucking young Joaquin Phoenix was. And he was just your regular, everyday, you know, actor.
Right.
Back then. Look at how far he's come in, since then.
Yeah.
It's amazing in 20 years that he went from being just this nothing regular run-of-the-mill actor to one of the best we've gotten. A lot of people don't give Joaquin Phoenix the credit he deserves.
Oh, that's for sure.
Oh, dude, he was even amazing in, what's that other film? Philip Seymour Hoffman. It's a loose reference to L. Ron Hubbard.
Oh, The Master.
The Master.
Yes, I thought he was brilliant
in The Master. Another film.
That, what was it called? Here Comes the Night? No. Mm. You know what I'm talking about? It's he plays the like drug dealer, like bad guy.
Yeah.
And his brother is a cop.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever saw the movie. I know the film you're talking about. You know what?
It's phenomenal.
I'm titling this episode A Love Letter to Joaquin.
That's Joaquin Phoenix. Hey, dude, I got to tell you something. Joaquin Phoenix to me is one of, well, now he's getting his dues, but he's one of the most underrated actors in some of the most underrated films. And I think so.
Without a doubt. I just looked at the tomato meter. Joker's only got 67%.
That's not great.
What?
I said that's not great.
No, and I'm you know what one of the biggest complaints that people had, critics especially, and a lot of people had, was the violence in the film. How nasty the violence actually was.
In Joker?
What did you fucking expect?
Yeah, well, dude, it was when he killed that fat fuck. That was pretty rough.
No. I mean, that was, but you know what? It just shows that you don't have to have a movie full of that shit. You could just make one big, giant, impactful scene, and it's just as heavy.
Well, yeah, they didn't have to have a movie full of it for people to complain already. Obviously,
I'm taking a cereal break. So, like, if you harken back to Gotham City, which is really reminiscent of New York in the 80s, and there were various similarities that I had kind of picked up on. What I really wanted to say, like, the kind of parallels that I had noticed was, here's this lonely guy living in a big city, and it makes him seem smaller.
Right.
But if you could see, there's a lot of mental illness around loneliness today. Where you have people could be alienated and put into smaller groups just because, you know, the web. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like all
right.
This, you know, and which is another big city where like lonely people could get really just lost in.
Okay, I saw this as almost a serial killer's origin story.
Yeah.
We'll bring up the little hints and stuff like that after, but you know the loneliness feeling when he didn't need to be lonely. He could have been out there and talking and stuff like that, and, you know, but it was put on him by his upbringing, by his mother being the only one that she needed him at all times.
Right.
Him, you know, with him having to take care of her, but she really needed him, and the fact that he had been institutionalized before the movie, you know, like before what we saw. He was tortured and as a child, you know, they found him starving and he had blunt force trauma right. to the head.
Horrible, horrible abuse.
Right. And which right there, the kid might have been, he might have been okay up until the blood, you know, the torture and the blunt force trauma to the head, because that can cause a lot of problems. Supposedly, I think it was Richard Ramirez, after he got slammed in the head with a swing when he was around 8 years old,
mm-hmm.
9 years old, something like that. He got slammed in the head with a swing and knocked him out. And after that, he started suffering from seizures and stuff like that. And his life went total opposite direction than it should have.
That's crazy.
There are a few serial killers that have had severe head injuries and
yes.
And huh. and like some psychologists, right, Joe, had basically said that like chances are that the head injuries themselves are like the focal point of when they flipped.
That's really interesting.
Yes, it can be. It can be. It's a combination. I mean, that's
right.
You're looking at okay, like with in the case of Ramirez, he had a bad family life. He after his head injury, he was taken in by his uncle, who showed him pictures of the women he killed and raped in Vietnam.
Oh.
And after his aunt or his uncle's girlfriend, I don't think it was his aunt yet. After she approached and asked him to stop showing the kid that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He shot her in the head right in front of him.
What?
Wow.
So, with any serial killer or psychopath, if you want to, we got to use the term kind of like, I guess, in a broad range, because there's all different kinds of psychopaths. Some of them never kill. But those kind of people have that, and I saw that with the upbringing of, and what you found out about Joker later in the film. With his mother and stuff right. like that. I immediately, because I started seeing hints from the beginning. That's when I text you guys, hey, I just realized the club he's playing at, it's called Pogo's, and look at his makeup.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's total, like, I mean, almost, I hate to use the word tribute.
But it's
in a way tribute to John Wayne Gacy. John Wayne Gacy's clown name was Pogo the Clown.
And that makeup.
It could just be inspired by. It doesn't have to be like, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, no. Inspired by,
but like, you know, like
but
you
that
said,
makeup as is a Gacy.
Part. Well, yeah, but I'm saying as a part of the fact, because I feel like the filmmakers obviously wanted us to feel the way we feel, that this is more right. of a serial killer origin story. So all the helps like bring it together. Yeah.
I went on serial killers and stuff like that, and I know it's hinted at in the movie that, you know, with the club name and the makeup and some other things, you know, the upbringing and stuff. But Joker is himself, Arthur Fleck is not a serial killer. Yes, he has killed multiple people, but he is not a serial killer.
He really is. He's really
How can I put it? I mean, he kills what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, well, he definitely qualifies as a serial killer.
Well, that's what we were trying to like. We were.
Yeah, you have to kill four or more. Like, you have to kill four or more.
Yeah.
He definitely qualifies as a serial killer, but he's more by watching the movie and hearing what he's thinking and seeing what's going on around him. He's more a psychopath than a just your average serial killer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not all serial killers are psychopaths.
True, yes.
Some of them are sociopaths, you know? He found reason, and he found a reason to live. You know, he wasn't just killing off your regular person on the street. Look, he let the little guy go, but he killed the asshole. The guy who fucking set him up and he lost his job, right?
Mm-hmm.
A your average serial killer, they're not that picky.
True. Yeah, I guess.
You know, he's not just focusing on one kind of person. He's focusing on
a specific person.
Exactly. You know, it's like these pieces of shit. This is what I'm focusing on. That's why, you know.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Because now they're going to move on to Batman, which is supposed to be taking place from this Joker. Or they're supposed to be making a Batman film that takes place from when you see Bruce, you know, this universe. But I don't think they're using Joaquin Phoenix again. But they're using this universe to bring in the next Batman series.
I'd be interested in that, but then again, and I would see why, like we said before, like why you would want to leave this movie with Joaquin Phoenix as Joker, like leave it as it is. But if they are going to expand and go into another movie, I would like to see him in it, because this is one of those origin stories that I thought was real. I really liked that they connected Bruce and.
And you do kind of you want to see Arthur's, you know, the what he's like in 20 years.
Right. Yeah.
As you know, as the Joker, you know what I mean. You know, the ultimate villain of Arkham. You know what I mean.
Yeah, and like for that to be the driving force of it, that like. You know, that they're brothers and he was left out and he, you know, and Bruce got the bougie lifestyle and that's why he fucking hates him.
But
think about this, though. It started with Joker, right? And then we move on to a Batman movie with this one as its origin. Then we move on to, say, Joaquin Phoenix coming back and playing Joker with Batman.
Right.
Then we move on to probably another one after that, right?
Right.
That's where we're gonna lose Joker in the mix.
Right. I see what you mean. Yep.
You know what I mean? They're saying it's gonna be a standalone. It's gonna be a standalone. But then why did you give an origin to Bruce Wayne and Thomas Wayne?
Right.
Exactly. Why did you show the murder of his parents and Bruce Wayne standing there? You showed Batman's origin. You can't just leave it like that.
I'll show you that.
You know, but they've got the other Batman with Robert Pattinson. They're already making it. I don't know if that's the one that they're using as it's supposedly they were going from this origin.
I don't know.
From Joker.
We just talked about how great Robert Pattinson was in The Lighthouse, but I don't know. I don't know. I still, even after that, I don't know if I trust him to be Batman.
Well, see, it's either really scary that we're going to lose the film or really good because, who knows, Pattinson's Batman, it may be just as dark as Joker.
True.
You know, and it may follow up to Joker very well, and which can keep Joker alive. I really hope they don't ruin this by making a sequel, which I hear they're not.
Oh yeah,
This is like, to me, this has the potential for like Taxi Driver cult status.
That's a masterpiece. For sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This to me is up there with King of Comedy, Taxi Driver.
Right. Yeah.
You know. Yes.
That's what I was trying to talk about. Yeah.
They definitely paid a lot of tribute to King of Comedy in this movie, which was also with De Niro.
It's a great film. It really is. I haven't seen it in a really long time. But,
you know, when the movie first came out, they were calling it, I saw people making jokes calling it Taxi Driver Part 2.
Hey, well,
but honestly, no shit. It was up there. It was right along the mental breakdown. This one's showing the mental breakdown of a man who was already mentally broken down. Taxi Driver showed the slow, steady meltdown of a guy from the beginning, you know, almost from the start.
Yeah.
This guy was already shot.
Yeah. But, like, one of my favorite things, I think, one of my favorite things about movies in general, but especially movies about fucked up people like this, like heroes, villains, you know what I'm saying? Like, all these kind of, you know?
Yeah.
The thing that I think brings it together, one of my favorite things is, like, making them relatable. And I think, even though he's really not, you still sort of root for him. You know?
Because they made the Joker an anti-hero.
Right. Like, I always root for, like, the bullies to get theirs. Like, you know what I mean?
I think we all do. And I think that's why because, like, okay, there's the difference from Taxi Driver. Yes, he went after bad people at first, but he was going to kill the senator.
Right.
You know, Palantine. He was going to kill that guy, and there was no rhyme or reason to why he was going to do it. Why was he choosing this guy to kill him? You know what I mean? Joker, you knew why the fuck he was killing these people. Look at those assholes on the train.
Yeah.
That
was, I wanted to shoot those guys.
I know.
The thing that about the train that I remembered is the Bernie Goetz story in the 80s.
Oh, yes, yes.
Bernie Goetz was mugged by three guys. Got tired of it. Crime was real shit in the 80s. Times Square, they actually called Slime Square in Ghostbusters because it was fucking gross.
Well, the New York, in which they portrayed, by the way, I'm sorry to cut you off, man. They portrayed New York City in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s, beautifully in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Bernie Goetz is mugged again. This time he's got a gun. And he shoots all of his assailants. Oh. I don't know if one guy was killed or two guys were killed. And
I think two guys were killed. I think there's a documentary on him. A documentary about him now.
He paralyzed the guy, and the guy sued him.
Wow.
Goetz was not. I don't know if he was tried for murder or he got off on the murder charge, but he got. What put him in trouble was the possession of an illegal firearm.
Wow.
Right.
That's what they got him on.
That's fucked.
But he was hailed a hero. He was hailed a folk hero in the 80s.
Well, that's what they did with the Joker. Go back way into the 70s here and look at like the story and you know, the actions of Death Wish. Have you ever seen the original Death Wish with Charles Bronson?
The motherfucking Charlie Bronson? Yeah.
So, like that's almost the same kind of thing. You know, I mean, it's the vigilantism, I guess. You know, people either worship or despise.
Right.
You know, and in Joker, this is why I brought up in Death Wish, you want him to get this revenge.
Yeah.
You know, you want him to take the lives of these fucking guys who raped his family and, you know, killed his family. You want it to happen. I wanted Arthur to kill those guys.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely. Everyone he killed, with the exception of maybe the last one of the film, ooh, every one of them I understood and I got, you know, and it meant something. Yes, I'd be interested to know what happens with Joker, but if they leave it alone, I'm happy, you know?
Yeah.
If they leave that movie alone, if they leave that character alone the way he is right now, I'm happy. You know, in its own messed up way, it was a happy ending.
Yeah.
Yeah, for him it was.
I mean, like I said before, in my opinion, it's like a masterpiece of a movie. So it's a perfect, it couldn't have been done with any other people at any other time. You know what I mean? It just seemed like a perfect coming together of director, actor, story. You know, the visuals, just everything coming together beautifully.
The only thing it's got that it doesn't have going for it is it is based off a comic book.
Right.
That's what it doesn't have going for it. Yes, you could watch the movie and not think of the Joker from Batman, but Bruce Wayne was thrown in there.
Yeah.
You know, Thomas Wayne was thrown in there.
And that's what always amazed me, too. I know it's based on a thing or whatever, but we change the universe all the time, right? There are so many different iterations of Batman movies, but Bruce Wayne is always like a little stuck-up little shit.
He's a little racist.
Yes, he is.
I know he is, but like,
I cannot tell you. I cannot tell you how much I hate Batman.
Yeah, right? He's like a little dick.
he's just a super rich asshole.
Yeah.
Who does whatever he wants.
Yeah.
See, but what I also liked about Joker is that it's this, like, you know, like I mentioned earlier, it's this whole thing about truth to power, right?
Right.
Where
right.
it's this gross display of what happens is if you're rich enough and you're powerful enough, you could make any misdeeds of yours or anybody else around you go right the fuck away.
Yep.
And in this case, the misdeeds were Joker, were Arthur and his mom.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's been shown that there's been some cover up. There's been some misdeed on the part of mm-hmm. Thomas Wayne. Alfred knows about it, which makes Alfred kind of just this fucking gross.
I was actually just thinking about Alfred. Wouldn't a cool spinoff be like Alfred, like
finding this
like
out,
being best friends with his mom, Penny's her name, right?
Penny, yeah.
Arthur's mom. Like, if Alfred was, like, the secret go-between and was, like, stealing from the Waynes and, like, taking care of Penny and Arthur. Oh, you know? Only because amazing. I really appreciate a cool Alfred character. I like when Alfred is, like, a likable character that's, like, a part of the story, you know?
Yeah, and Alfred, like, grabs him from, like, that abusive kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Like, all the right. abuse that he suffered. Like, yeah. he deals with that. He fucking pistol whips the guy in a,
yeah.
in a burger
Well, no, thing. It has to be, like, more secret than that, but...
Oh.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean. You know what I mean. It's something like that, where it's like...
Like, Ninja Alfred.
Yeah. There's so much that could be said and so much that could be done. I am afraid that we're going to lose Joker into not into obscurity, but Joker's going to get lost in the mix in the next few years.
You think?
It's going to be forgettable.
Judging by people and what people want and what people want to see and what people want to hear and who people want to see, whatever it might be. I think I have a feeling that it's going to fall into kind of like a nothingness, not into obscurity, because there's always going to be people like us that are going to love and remember. But maybe it's because it's the wrong time. You know what I mean?
I don't agree. I think there's never been more of a focus on mental health and the importance of it. Failed artists and failed comedians breed serial killers. There's always going to be an interest in that. And for all intents and purposes, the Joker in this film is a failed comedian, right?
Right.
I mean, he's a little misanthropic. He's, he's a bit of a, he's a sad sack. He's a failed comedian. You know, that to me, that like conjures like, thoughts of Manson, and he's still a failed artist. I think I like the fact that in this film, Joker's not a supervillain. He's a lonely, sad, sick person. And I don't want to see a continuation of this, because I feel like this world that depressed him so much, he kind of, the city that got him so bad, he just, now he has it in, like, his grip. Isn't that the ultimate, like, fucking nerd revenge fantasy? Isn't that the ultimate
fantasy,
right? Is to just, like, you just take so much shit that, like, you're now able to crush your enemies and just fucking rip shit up.
Did you happen to notice that when he's at, like, the comedy club, okay, and he's, when he was watching the comedians and taking notes?
Oh, and he's, like, laughing at all
the time. He only laughed at the things that nobody else, the things that you weren't supposed to laugh at. He didn't laugh at the punchlines. He laughed at the other, like, the guy would say, oh, my wife isn't home tonight. He's like, ha, ha, ha.
Right,
and then the punchline came, you know?
Right.
And it's like, okay, he's seeing humor totally differently than anybody else. What I thought was really funny was, and I don't know how many people picked up on it, I don't know how many people will pick up on it, is I was a big fan of Todd Phillips. I love all of the Hangover movies, everything. I loved everything the guy's done. I loved his movie Due Date with Zach Galifianakis and Robert Downey Jr., where they're traveling together, and Zach Galifianakis plays a wannabe actor, and he goes by the name of Ethan Tremblay. And later in the film, about halfway through the film, you find out that his real name is Ethan Chase. Now, in Joker, when Joker is watched right before he's going to go on to the show, to the Murray show, they introduce an actor named Ethan Chase, which I started laughing hysterically, because I was like, holy crap, he used a character from what, that Zach Galifianakis played.
I love when directors do that and, like, keep shit in their universe, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I thought that was so funny. You know, like in my mind, I was like, oh, man, Ethan Pye finally made it. You know?
Good for him.
He made it big. Basically, to me, that movie had two endings. The movie could have ended when he finally, when the guys pulled him out of the truck and everybody's piled up, and he's standing on top of the cop car, and he's smiling and dancing around. He pulls the blood up across his face to smile.
Yeah.
And, like, that shot was just, like, holy crap, that's brilliant. And then it had...
truly happy, right?
Right. And then it had that the second ending, which also had a brilliant ending shot.
Oh, with him by the orderlies?
Yeah, in the asylum, when he's walking with the bloody footprints and he walks down the one hallway and then he comes running down and the orderly's chasing him.
I would have preferred them ending it with him, like, smearing the blood on his mouth. You know?
Yeah.
That was really my favorite, but I liked the ending. What do you think Joker's impact is going to be? Well,
on
first,
like,
how
on
is
like
it?
Like, society and, like, culture?
Yeah, like, how has it impacted you, or if it has at all? What do you think the impact is going to be on society, if at all, in, say, like, 20 years from now?
Well, I'll say this. I would hope that it makes people, even if it is in the slightest way, talk about mental health and being okay talking about it. Any little step towards that, I think, is good. I wouldn't say, like, it impacted me or changed the way I feel about anything. But like I said, I like seeing that somebody that on the surface seems so unrelatable actually turns out to be super relatable.
Yeah.
And like I said, I really just loved how unique it was and that it just totally stood out on its own in a universe that's like totally saturated.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a good call.
And I thought it was awesome to look at. So A+ in my book.
Joe, what's been its impact on you, if any, and where do you see the film status, say, like 20 years from now?
I'm gonna end it with this. Joker was an amazing movie, an incredible in-depth look into a damaged mind, character study into a person like that. And it's the one curse that the film has is that it's based off of a comic book character. Yes, that was not a review of the Joker. That was our love letter to Joaquin Phoenix.
This
is our Joaquin Phoenix one.
And it was us basically saying over and over, please don't make another one. If you haven't seen it, see it. And if you love it, buy it.
All right. So for Joe, for G, oh man, that's all right, man.